Tasmai, Sri Gurave Namaha. So we have some excerpts from Srila Prabhupada's books and also prayer to Lord Balaram to read this morning. And so first we'd like to talk about Lord Balaram's ontological position. Who is Lord Balaram? And then we'll read a little bit from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Leela, chapter 5, that deals with the glories of Nityananda Balaram. Of course, Lord Nityananda is the same as Balaram. Balaram Hoyla Nitai. So, we'll read from the beginning of the chapter, the fourth text. Sarva avatari Krishna swayam Bhagavan Tannaraditya deha Sri Balaram. The Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna is the fountainhead of all incarnations. Lord Balaram is his second body. So Prabhupada explains in the purport that Lord Sri Krishna, the Absolute Personality of Godhead, is the primeval Lord, the original form of Godhead. And his first expansion is Sri Balaram. The Personality of Godhead can expand himself in innumerable forms. The forms that have unlimited potency are called Svamsha, and the forms that have limited potencies, the living entities, are called Vivinamsha. Let's read the next verse. Ekai swarupa donghe vina matrakoi ajakoya vyuha Krishna lila rasahoi. These two are one and the same identity. They differ only in form. Lord Balaram is the first bodily expansion of Krishna, and he assists in Lord Krishna's transcendental pastimes. Prabhupada explains that Balaram is a Svamsha expansion of the Lord, and therefore there is no difference in potency between Krishna and Balaram. The only difference is in their bodily structure. As the first expansion of Godhead, Balaram is the chief deity among the first quadruple forms, and he is the foremost assistant of Sri Krishna in his transcendental activities. So that's the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So there's different Vishnu-tattva expansions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and there's different Jiva-tattva expansions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And as Srila Prabhupada explains, Vishnu-tattva is called Swa-ansa, that means his own. And Vivinam, so that's separated parts and parcels. And of course, as Jiva souls were the separated parts and parcels, were called the marginal potency of the Lord, as described. Krishna Shakti, Vishnu Shakti, Para Brakta, Shitragya Kedada, Para, Avidyakarma Sangyanya, Tritir Shakti, Shite. And then the Lord has three potencies. The internal potency, which is headed up by Srimati Radharani and all the different potencies. Those potencies, like say the Shaktis, the Sakis, and the different Lakshmis, and even Durga in this material world expand from the Adi Shakti, Srimati Radharani. However, we don't expand from Srimati Radharani. We're not expansive from Srimati Radharani. Actually, in one sense, we're expansive of Balaram, but not Vishnu-tattva expansions of Balaram. We are Vivinamsa, separated parts and parcels of Krishna. So Balaram, being the original expansion of Krishna, from him come all the other expansions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, there was an interesting email one of our devotees sent me yesterday saying, well, does Narayan in the spiritual world expand from Krishna or expand from Balaram? Well, actually, all the incarnations expand from Balaram, but they expand from Krishna too. And it may appear to be a little confusing to people when they think about, you know, expansions, because generally when we think of expansions, you know, something expands, or we expand, there's some lessening of potency. or there's some difference. For example, a man expands, or a woman expands as their children. So the children are not the same as the parents. I mean, you can say they have some characteristics of the parents. But in the case of Krishna, in his various expansions, we have that verse of the Brahma Samhita. Advaita Chuta Nadi Ranata Rupa Majam Purana Purusham Navayovanam Cha. That all of his expansions are exactly the same person. Otherwise, if we thought anything different, we'd be polytheistic persons. Polytheistic means we'd be thinking that there's many gods. So each and every incarnation of Krishna is the same person, or he is the same person, not it. He is the same person, exhibiting himself in different ways. So we talk about expansion, it doesn't mean there's something different between Krishna and Narayan, ontologically. However, there is a difference in manifestation. You understand? There's not a difference in ontology. Ontology means the identity of the person. But there's a difference in manifestation. So manifestation means, as Prabhupada gives a very nice metaphor, he talks about how when a man goes to his business place, that he exhibits certain aspects of his personality, and then when he goes home, he exhibits a complete manifestation of his different activities and personalities, right? So when he's home, there's intimacy. And when he's at work, hopefully there's no intimacy unless you happen to be a modern-day businessman. But that's another issue. There's not that same sort of, hopefully, you know, there's not that same sort of intimacy. It's more of an official relationship. Like Prabhupada sometimes would say that Lord Narayan is the official personality, supreme personality of Godhead. So Krishna is God at home, and Lord Narayan, or you know, even if you talk about the further expansions like the Purusha avatars, that is Garbhodakshaya Vishnu or Mahavishnu, Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, Shirodakshaya Vishnu, they're particularly, you wouldn't say actually working, but you would say God in a lesser, he's manifesting less of his potencies or aspects of his personality. So it's important to understand that, because when we're talking about expansions or expansions of expansions or whatever like that, we're not talking about different persons. People get very much confused about that, that they're thinking, you know, this is a different person, he's less of. It's not like that. So this is, it's a very important principle to understand. Anyway, all the expansions, the Prakash expansions, come from Lord Balaram. And there's a different type of expansion called the Vilas expansions, which are exactly the same as Krishna in terms of the manifestation. What I mean by that is, let's take Krishna's Rasa Leela dance. When Krishna enacted the Rasa Leela dance, he manifested himself in between each group, you know, two gopis in the dance. That's a different type of expansion, the Vilasa expansion. Does everyone understand that? So, because that's not a lesser manifestation. Let's just keep with the same philosophy. It's not a lesser manifestation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead's intimacy, glories, potencies, whatever. But it's exactly the same type of manifestation. Does everybody understand that? It's easy to understand. So that's it. But they're all the same person, whether we're talking about Krishna dancing, the Rasa dance, expanding himself in exactly the same forms, or Krishna expanding himself as Nrisimha, or any of the other Vishnu Tattva expansions. They're all the same person, just in different moods. So Balaram is Krishna in a different mood. And it's interesting In the Chaitanya Bhagavata, it goes into more detail in this respect. It's interesting that after or when Krishna expands himself in these different moods, these expansions, particularly Balaram, of course, everything expands from Balaram, particularly Balaram, they serve the original Supreme Personality of Godhead. As we hear described in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, that Balaram manifests himself as different aspects of the Lord's paraphernalia. For example, he manifests himself as the Brahman thread of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So we have the Brahman thread on the deity, and the devotees were fortunate enough to get remnants of the deity. In other words, sometimes when we change the Brahman thread on Krishna, then they're actually wearing, if they wear that Brahman thread, they're wearing Balaram. You understand? It's really amazing. Or the Singhasana. Singhasana is not called Sringasana. Most devotees call it Sringasana. It's Singhasana. It means the lion throne. And that's actually in reference to how the kings used to sit. They actually used to sit on different thrones. It was a lion throne, and then on the handles, they would actually have images of lions. And if you go to Jagannath Puri today, you actually see all these lions outside of the temple. Not real lions, but they're carved lions outside of the temple. So that's called the like Lord Nrsingadev. Not Lord Nrsingadev, Lord Nrsingadev. Anyway, the Singhasana is a manifestation of Balaram. In fact, the temple is a manifestation of Balaram. And Balaram further expands himself to support all the universes, and that's as Sankarsana. Sankarsana means basically, anyway, there's different explanations of the word Sankarsana. It means, sometimes Prabhupada explained as bringing the different dynasties together, connecting, like Sangha, like Sankirtan, bringing the different dynasties, the Yadu and dynasty and Andaka dynasty and all the dynasties together. So Lord Balaram is very much involved in serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's the servant of Krishna, even though he's the same as Krishna, ontologically, but by manifestation and by pastimes, he acts differently to serve Krishna. So before Balaram appeared as Krishna's brother, over 5,000 years ago, Balaram appeared in this particular Yuga cycle, in the Treta Yuga, as the brother of Lord Ramchandra. So because whenever the Lord appears, he appears with his expansions. And so we have, of course, the Chaturvyuha expansion, and Lord Balaram is the original Sankarsan and the first Chaturvyuha, but Krishna's the original Vasudeva in the first Chaturvyuha expansion. So then you have this manifestation, Lord Ram's pastimes, of Ram and, of course, Lakshman and Bart and Shatrughna. Anyway, we're just answering your question. You missed the answer. You missed the answer. Should we repeat? Anyway. All right. It was actually Ujjala who asked the question. So we can repeat what we just said. We're just talking about Balaram. That, as I mentioned in the email, that Advaita Chutanari Ranantarupamadhyam Purana Purusham Lavyovanam Cha. There's absolutely no difference ontologically between the different Vishnu Tattva expansions of the Lord. I'm repeating myself for the fun of it. So, and it's different than when we talk about expansions in this material world, where a parent expands themselves as the child. The child is different than the parent, has some of the potencies of the parent, at least when they grow up. But in the realm of the transcendence, There's absolutely no difference in Vishnu Tattva expansions, who they are, that's called ontologically. But there's a difference in manifestation. And the example I gave was that when a man goes to the office, he's manifesting, even though he's exactly the same person, he's manifesting himself differently than when he goes at home. And when he's at home, there's a more complete manifestation. So with Krishna and his expansions, it's like that. That Krishna at home is in Vrindavan. And of course, we know he does certain things. He has four different qualities that he doesn't manifest anywhere else. Actually, even Balaram has a quality. Was it really interesting? I was just reading last night about Balaram. That, for example, with the plow, according to Srila Prabhupada, he doesn't manifest the plow in Vrindavan. He has like a buffalo horn instead of the plow. It's outside of Vrindavan he manifests the plow. Although you do have that pastime where he was dragging the Jamuna. But anyway, I mean, at least that's what the acharyas say. So it's this, he's the same person as Krishna. There's absolutely no difference. Just he manifests himself differently. And then going ahead with the class, that all the incarnations of Krishna, beginning with Balaram, from whom all the other incarnations manifest, and we can also say all the incarnations come from Krishna, they come from Balaram. I mean, this is just an explanation. Actually, not all the expansions come from Balaram. There's the Vilasa expansions, which actually are non-different from Krishna, like in the Rasa dance, that don't come from Balaram. But in the same way, Balaram is not non-different. I mean, it's try to understand that Balaram is non-different from the Vilasa expansions too, because he's the same person. We don't believe in polytheism. We only have one God. It's just a way of explaining how Krishna manifests himself in different ways. You know, so Balaram serves the Supreme Personality of Godhead in many different ways, as the Singhasana, as the Brahman thread on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and in fact as Sankarshan, he's holding up all the different universes. And then even we find the interesting interaction in the pastimes. Let's go back where we just left off before, in the pastimes of Lord Ram, where Balaram in this particular case appears as Lakshman, and that's the Chaturvyuha Vasudev Sankarshan Prajuna and Nani Ruda. So Lakshman is Sankarshan, and then Bharatan Shatrughna Prajuna Aniruddha. And so Lakshman was serving Lord Ram, as all manifestations of Balaram do, and all manifestations of all the incarnations of the Supreme Personality of God, and the Vishnu Tattva incarnations serve the higher, for lack of a better word, the higher manifestation. You know, for lack of better words, we have to use this thing, you know, original or higher or something like that. So they were all serving. So Lakshman, of course, was serving, and he was serving Lord Ram so much that he was such an obedient servant that during the whole excursion when Lord Ram was Vanavas, or going to the forest, he did not eat the whole time. And the reason he didn't eat the whole time is that Lord Ram never told him to eat. That's an obedient servant. Just like brahmacharis are supposed to be trained up in the same way. That unless the spiritual master says eat, they don't eat. We should have that training. So Lakshman was doing that too. He didn't eat for the whole time in the forest. And actually that was part of the pastime where he was able to kill Indrajit. It's an interesting story from Ramayana. And it does have something to do with Balaram because it's Lakshman. So Indrajit had gotten the benediction that he could not be killed except Bhat Indrajit as Meghnad, you know, the son of Ravana. I think you most know, most of you know the Ramayana. He could not be killed unless someone killed him who had not eaten for like 14 years. And so, you know, I would like to have that benediction. You know, because I can't find anyone who hasn't eaten for 14 years. So Lakshman hadn't eaten for 14 years, so therefore he was able to kill Indrajit. I mean, there's a whole story of how he killed him. Indrajit was performing the sacrifice to his Didi Kumbha, and then Hanuman came in and passed urine on the sacrifice. And then Lakshman was able to kill him. So anyway, Lakshman was serving Lord Rama and such an obedient servant that even when Ram asked Lakshman to put Sita Devi, to arrange for a fire so Sita Devi could walk into the fire, Lakshman did it. Even when Ram asked Lakshman to send Sita Devi to the forest, just drop her off in the forest outside of Valmiki's ashram, Lakshman did it. And even, you know, the final pastimes, you have Ram banishing Lakshman. What happened is that, I guess we get started with the Ramayana, was that it came time for Ram's pastimes to end on this earth planet. So Yamaraj came to see Ram and to inform Ram about this. And when he was informing Ram, he requested that nobody should intrude upon their conversation. So Ram posted Lakshman at the door and said, if anyone intrudes, I will banish that person from the whole kingdom. So Lakshman said, all right, I'm going to make sure nobody intrudes. So along comes Durvasa Muni. And Durvasa Muni says, I'd like to see Ram. And Lakshman says, you can't, you know, just wait a few minutes. And Durvasa Muni gets angry and says, I'm going to curse you, ruin the whole dynasty, I'm going to ruin the whole kingdom. So Lakshman was caught in the horns of a proverbial dilemma. Dilemma means, you know, can't do, you know, like this. Or, anyway, dilemma, there's different types of dilemmas where you have two choices, you know, avoidance, etc., like that. So Lakshman thought, well, better sacrifice myself for the good of the kingdom. So he said, all right, I'll go in and disturb him. So he went in and disturbed Ram and Yamaraj. Ram said, all right, now you have to be banished. And he banished Lakshman from the kingdom. Imagine being treated like that by your brother. So that's Balaram, actually. Lakshman and Balaram are not different. Lakshman's expansion of Balaram, we understand that. But it's the same person. And Ram is the same person. I'm just trying to make the point. Ram is the same person as Lakshman. It's interesting, isn't it? And Bharat, Ram is the same person as Bharat. And Ram is the same person as Shatrughna. And you had Bharat, who, when Ram was in the forest, he took a vow. Of course, he tried to bring Ram back, but then he took a vow to live or sleep under where Lord Ram was sleeping. So he actually dug a hole in the earth and was sleeping in the ditch or in a hole in the earth. And he was just eating barley cooked in cow's urine. Just like, you know, one time the devotees tried to give me cow urine as a medicine. I think I thought I started throwing up before it happened. So, I mean, he was so devoted. The point I'm making, he was so devoted to Ram and Shatrughna too. I mean, they were inseparable, so devoted to Ram. But they're all the same person. It's amazing, isn't it? I mean, that is inconceivable to us. So when we try to analyze, the point I'm making, we're trying to analyze all these incarnations and portions of a portion, we don't want to project our material conceptions upon the realm of the absolute. It's very, very dangerous. It's like even Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, and we've been talking about this recently, one shouldn't try to understand how we came here to the material world. Although devotees, you know, they like to spend their time trying to figure it out. How did we come to the material world? But Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and Prabhupada said, you know, it doesn't matter, you're drowning, you know, get the hell out of this material world. So, anyway, getting back to the point, don't try to understand it with material intelligence, because you're not going to be able to understand it. How? They're all the same person. Simultaneously, you know, like Krishna's manifestations in Dwarka, where Krishna is in 16,108 wives, and Narada Muni's going around, and he's observing Krishna doing something different with his children, different with his wives in every single house. How could you understand that? You know, I can't multitask, right? At most, I can time slice my behavior, but I can't multitask. But Krishna, he could, and he's in every atom. There's another expansion. You know, the Shiva Dakshai Vishnu. He's in every atom, and he's the same person. Goloka Ivanivashati Akilatma Bhuta, right? Krishna never leaves Vrindavan, but he's everywhere. Not only everywhere by his energy, you know, Ham Sarvasya Prabhu Matak Sarvam Bhavar today. Not everywhere only by his energy, but he's everywhere, or manifest everywhere as the Shirodakshay Vishnu in everyone's heart. Krishna says in the Gita, if he wasn't the same person, he wouldn't be saying, you know, that Sarvasya Chaham Ridhisana Vishnu, right? Everybody knows that verse? No. Sarvasya Chaham Ridhisana Vishnu Matak Smritir Gyanam Bhavanam Chah. I am seated. Sarvasya Chaham. If all the incarnations were not, or incarnations, Vishnu Tadva, expansions were not the same, Krishna would not be saying Sarvasya Chaham. Does everyone understand? Sarvasya Chaham Ridhisana Vishnu. He says, all Sarvasya Chaham, I, Riddhi, Sadhavishnu, I'm situated in everyone's heart. It's not just like Ishwara Sarvabhutam, the controller is situated in everyone's heart. He says, Sarvasya Chaham, Riddhi, Sadhavishnu, that I am situated in everyone's heart. And so you're dealing with, let's just further explain it. You're dealing with Krishna in Hastinapur, you know, with like Dwarka manifestation. And he's talking about he's the same as Shirodakshay Vishnu. So there is indication even in the Gita of the equality, the ontological equality between different manifestations of the Supreme or different expansions of the Supreme Personality of God. I don't think there are many gods. I mean, it's like a pure devotee of the Lord will look in his heart and he will see, if he's a pure devotee of Krishna, he will see Radha and Krishna. Or like Hanuman. Here's another story from Ramayana. You could tell Ramayana is my favorite. That Hanuman, he opened his heart, you know, his chest. He tore apart his chest when Sita Devi and others were accusing him of not having love for Ram because he had chewed on the pearls that Sita Devi gave him. You know, Sita Devi gave him these remnant pearls and he just chewed on them. And they said, you know, why? How much love can you have? I said, I was just looking for Rama in each pearl. So he chewed on the pearls, and Hanuman said, well, I mean, they were all just like, what? What's this monkey? He's just a monkey. What kind of a love does he have for Rama? I mean, obviously, like if I got some DD remnants, I wouldn't chew on them. And then Hanuman just tore open his chest, and who was inside? Sita and Rama. You didn't see four-handed Paramatma, did you? Of course, you didn't see. I'm just projecting. So anyway, they didn't see, you know, Shirodakshay Vishnu, did they? They saw Ram and Sita. So that's a proof right there. It's the same person. So I'm giving different proofs. It's the same person. I keep repeating it over and over again. So anyway, so let's talk about Lakshman again. So Lakshman, after all these austerities of serving Ram, you know, even, and it's interesting, under Yogamaya, there is the conception, when you have these different expansions of the Lord, that they're individual, separate persons. And how that is, I cannot explain, because it's inconceivable. So Lakshman, he's never thinking, I'm the same as Ram anyway, you know, what's this business, you know, why are we just fooling around like this? Lakshman is definitely upset that he's been asked to do all these things at the behest of Ram. And what does he say? Ram says, all right, I'll give you a benediction. You served me so nicely, my dear brother, younger brother. And Lakshman says, the benediction I want is I never want to be your younger brother again. So obviously, even though they're the same person, it's hard to understand. They're thinking differently, right? How is that? Can you understand that? And also, God is omniscient. One of his qualities, you know, he has all these triple O God, as Ridananda Mara says, you know, triple O, omniscient, omnipresent, omnibeneficent, you know, all present, all powerful. You know, we have these things, all powerful, all good, all knowing. I mean, there's also qualities of Bhagavan. Why we use the Bhagavan explanation. You know, all beautiful, all famous. It's all these old things, six of them. So, it's so interesting that there's actually, they're thinking differently. They're the same person and thinking differently. Of course, a perverted reflection of that in the material world is someone who has MPD, multiple personality disorder. It's like, you know, we've had experience with people. Being in the Krishna conscious movement, you experience all types of psychology. You get a PhD just being in the Krishna conscious movement. And so we have a person, something with 11 different personalities, all, but not at the same time. Yeah, like Balaram and Krishna. Two different places having an argument. They didn't have an argument. This person could switch gears, go into different personalities, which is useful because this person built things as a man and did deity worship as a lady. You know, ideal devotee. So, anyway, apart from that particular interesting description. But at the same time, you have Balaram, and not only Balaram and Krishna, but you got all the incarnations doing different things simultaneously, and they're all the same person. And of course, that's all Yogamaya. We understand that. Because Krishna, but he's not forced into illusion. We're not talking about Vivarta, you know, the illusion. We're in illusion. And Brahman has never changed. It's like, you know, the Mayavadis, they talk about Harinam, you know, which means basically the Brahman changes. Sometimes, you know, Brahman can be divided or whatever. but no, it's always the same person. Just because of Yogamaya, voluntarily, not by force. You know, when we have changes in our personality or manifestation, I mean, just like right now, I have a little cough. It's by force. I don't want it. You know, I'd like to just like be singing Hari Bol right now. This morning I had to listen to Gokulendra chant. It was nice. It wasn't a problem. But still, I would rather be chanting. You know, I'm the guru. I'm the boss. I'm the GBC, you know. But I'm forced by material nature. Prabhupada talks about that a lot, how we are forced by material nature to experience things. I mean, Prabhupada said, you're forced to be old. This is not my pastime. They voluntarily embraced old age. But you're forced. But Krishna's not forced. He does this. And actually, we've mentioned many times before, Krishna does this because he enjoys, out of compassion. Hey Krishna Karan Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagapate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namosade. Krishna Karan and Sindhu. So out of compassion he manifests these Purusha avatars. And they're all doing different things. I mean, it's just, anyway. God is inconceivable. That's the point I'm making. So anyway, so Lakshman says to Ram, I do not want to be your younger brother anymore. You know, he says it with vehemence. Not just like, please, I don't want to be your younger brother. He said, I'm fried. Because you asked me to do all these things. And as I mentioned before, even he's banished in the end of the pastimes. And Ram says, okay, from now on, you're the older brother. So, of course, Balaram is the older brother. Lord Nityananda is the older brother of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And it's interesting, in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, let's jump forward a few millennia. So in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, generally he's not remembering he's Krishna either. This is interesting, isn't it? So this is, we're talking about how Krishna's various manifestations and expansions think differently. So he's not remembering he's Krishna. He's thinking he's a devotee of Krishna. He's in the mood of Srimati Radharani. He takes on different moods for his own enjoyment. Although he's the same person. There's no difference. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Krishna. Shri Krishna, Chaitanya, Radha Krishna, Nayanya. No difference. And Lord Nityananda is not different than Balaram. And Lord Nityananda is not different than Lord Chaitanya, ontologically. I'm trying to understand this word, ontological. Maybe you have to look it up later on. To understand it. It means the identity, you know, the essence. They're not different. But simultaneously, the whole thing's happening. Pretty cool. I mean, we got a pretty cool God here. So, anyway, so therefore, Balaram appears as the older brother of Krishna. However, Krishna is very tricky with his older brother. He doesn't obey his older brother. You know, he doesn't even follow etiquette. As have I mentioned many times, Krishna is not an example of etiquette for us. Maryada. He's not an example of ordinary, you know, manners and good behavior, because he disobeys his older brother. Whereas Ram, Maryada Purushottam, you understand? So Maryada means like, you know, the etiquette and behavior and everything like that. Purushottam means the supreme person. Not only, but you combining both those words together, Maryada Purushottam, means the supreme person who gives an example of good manners. You understand? That's the definition of Lord Ram. The supreme good-mannered person, Maryada Purushottam. Purusha means person, Santa means man, but in this particular case means person. Uttama, topmost. And so Krishna, he's so interesting that he's not actually Maryada Purushottam. With his interactions with Balaram, he deliberately goes against Balaram's wishes. Like Balaram is called sometimes, a name for Balaram is Duryodhana Guru. Now, we know Duryodhana, excuse me, I am not the supreme controller. Sometimes I think like that. I actually do think sometimes that, you know, I can control things. But I can't even control this body. We'll just be controlling disciples. So, anyway, so getting back to the story. So Balaram give some instructions. So Balaram is known as Duryodhana Guru. He's the martial arts guru of Duryodhana, which is actually, you know, basically in opposition to what Krishna would want, which is interesting. And the reason he becomes the martial arts guru is Duryodhana has this whole plan to keep the Yadu dynasty neutral when he fights with Arjuna and the Pandavas. And his plan, the way he's going to do that is by marrying Subhadra. And the way he's going to convince Balaram to have him marry Subhadra, to make that arrangement, is that he's going to become the disciple of Balaram. That's it. That's his whole strategy. Remember, these Kshatriyas, they're very, very political. So he's thinking, I become the disciple. And it's like, the disciple is like the sun. Not the sun in the sky. It's like the sun must listen to the father. That's the Vedic culture. Anyway, and so it's a very close relationship. So if the son also asks the father for something, the father becomes like emotionally bound to do that. So then he accepts Balaram as his martial arts guru and they have some club fights and everything like that. And finally, he says, Guru Maharaj, can I marry your sister? You know, then finally he says that. And Balaram, feeling really, you know, emotionally drawn. And remember, he's the same as Krishna. You know, just contrasting this thing throughout this whole discussion this morning. Remember, he's exactly the same as Krishna. But he's not remembering it. And he's not remembering it voluntarily. You know, when I don't remember something, it's not voluntary. It's just thinking, what was that verse? Huh? What was that verse? Huh? It's not voluntary. I want to remember it, but the brain ain't working. So it's not a Balaram. You know, it's not a material body. When you forget things because of the material body, it's because of the brain, the synapses, just like went haywire or something, or you got Alzheimer's disease or something. So anyway, so Balaram doesn't remember, and he's Krishna Krishna. And, you know, for pastime's sake, they're doing this. And so Balaram thinks, hey, that's a good idea. He's my dear disciple, Duryodhana. Oh. My spiritual son, not spiritual, martial arts son. So he should marry my sister. Oh, isn't that sweet? Balaram's thinking like that. Amazing. And Krishna, you know, when Krishna hears this arrangement, he says, oh my God. And he's dealing with God, who happens to be his brother, and he is God. Very interesting. If you look at the ontology and all of this. And so he is God. He's thinking of God. You know. And so then Krishna thinks, I got to do something about this. He may be my elder brother, but it's a big mistake. Because this is going to be a go against my whole plan to Paritranaya Sadunam Vinashaya Chadushkritam. You understand? My business is to annihilate the miscreants. And I came down to the earth planet and listen. My whole incarnation, you know, nothing's going to happen if this battle doesn't take place. So Krishna invites Arjuna, Krishna's manipulating everything the whole time anyway. Arjuna, who was dressed as a sannyasi. The reason Arjuna is dressed as a sannyasi is that Arjuna had taken a vow not to intrude on any of his brothers who happened to be with his wife. Because they all had the same wife, you know, five brothers, one wife. A little difficult. So, and so he had to intrude one time to save the cows that were kidnapped. And so he had to go into take sannyas. Of course, his sannyas was not such a normal sannyas. You know, he did end up having encounters with different ladies and children as a sannyasi, but that's another issue. With Upi and others. So then he ends up in Dwarka. Krishna tells Arjuna that when you do this vanaprastha, you should finish your austerities in Dwarka. You understand? So he finished. So Arjuna, that's why Arjuna's in Dwarka. Because Krishna had previously instructed, and Krishna's like moving everybody around in a chessboard, including Balaram. Which is really interesting. Really, I mean, Krishna, such an interesting God. So Krishna says to Arjuna, you should finish your austerities in Dwarka. Arjuna doesn't really understand, and you should finish your austerities outside of the Somanath temple. I don't know if any of you know what that is. That's the main temple of Dwarka. Anyway, so you say that's a temple of Lord Shiva or the sun. And he's doing his austerities. And as he's doing his austerities outside this temple, it's very interesting that this is something you may not know. That Duryodhana and Shakuni, they're coming to Dwarka for the marriage. And they go to that temple. And Arjuna's dressed as a sannyasi doing his austerity. This is an inside story for those of us who were there. Anyway, so Arjuna's doing his austerities outside of the temple, and, you know, sort of like Shakuni does, like a double take, you know. Don't I know him? You know, because he's dressed in saffron or whatever. So anyway, so then... Krishna, it's Krishna's whole plan that Arjuna would kidnap Subhadra. So Arjuna is invited, this is a story also in the Krishna book, in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Arjuna is invited over to Balaram's house where Subhadra is, and they're all taking dinner together. And Arjuna, dressed as a sannyasi, is, you know, making eyes at Subhadra. You know, Balaram is just like innocent. He doesn't see what's going on. He's God. But he doesn't see what's going on. What happened to his omniscience? Well, this is Yogamaya again. Krishna knows what's going on, but Balaram doesn't. And they're the same person. This is the theme of today's class. They're the same person. Interesting, isn't it? I mean, it's really interesting. And so, Krishna basically tells Arjuna, you know, you better kidnap her. And so Arjuna, but Krishna has an instruction to Arjuna so that he won't get into more trouble than he is already in. He says, you should let Subhadra drive the chariot. And the reason for that is that when Arjuna is accused of kidnapping Subhadra, then he has a defense, or Krishna has a defense. Because Krishna is Arjuna's defense attorney in front of Balaram. What happens is that when Balaram finds out, you know, they're actually getting ready for the marriage, and Subhadra doesn't show up at the marriage. And because Arjuna's put her on the chariot, and she's driving the chariot away. And so there's Duryodhana basically getting ready, you know, for, you know, dressed up in his finest, like a Muslim prince. Anyway, they didn't do it in those days. But anyway, it's interesting in ISKCON when people get married, they dress like Muslim princes. They don't dress like traditional Indian style. So anyway, so everyone's getting ready for the marriage, and Shakuni is there, and the whole family's there, actually. My grandfather, Bhishma, and everything. And then Arjuna and Subhadra, they just basically elope. And Balaram, he is really upset. He calls the soldiers of the Yadu dynasty. And he says, you know, that's it. We've been insulted. We got to kill him. And so he calls all the soldiers. And Krishna's just sitting there. Da, 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 da. And Balaram says, why don't you say anything, Krishna? And Krishna says, you know, can I say something? Balaram says, yes. You know, such an interesting exchange. And then Krishna explains, you know, it's actually very good. You know, he's a perfect husband. And secondly, it's, you know, who was driving who. So it's not that he kidnapped her. She kidnapped him. So Krishna's old pacing. And Balaram is just getting frustrated. He's done it again. And so you find these sort of encounters going on between Krishna and Balaram up to the end of the battle of Kurukshetra. Of course, during the battle of Kurukshetra, Balaram, because he was conflicted, you know, he had allegiances or friendships on both sides. So Krishna was not conflicted. Balaram went on a pilgrimage. And of course, there's a whole story when Balaram went on pilgrimage. Actually, I never got a chance to read from those other books, but we just got started. So when Balaram went on pilgrimage, I mean, one of the first things he did was kill Romaharshana Suta. And then he had to atone for his sins. He has to atone for his sins. Really interesting. And he had to kill this Balbala and then go on pilgrimage for the whole year. So he ends up his pilgrimage right at the end of the battle of Kurukshetra when Bhimsen is doing the final fight with Duryodhana, you know, the club fight. And Duryodhana has gotten this boon of invulnerability, as you know, because his mother Gandhari had looked at his body when his body was partially undressed. Actually, he wanted to be completely undressed, but Krishna got in there again with his tricks. And he told Duryodhana, it's not right to be naked in front of your mother. So he had him wear some, like a fig leaf or something like that, or several leaves. It was actually not a real gumsho. It was made of leaves, because he didn't have any gumshos around. So he actually made something around the midriff with leaves. So it wasn't a fig leaf. You know, that would have just one portion, but it was actually around here. And it was a natural gumsho. Natural gumsho, biodegradable. So he was vulnerable or able to be hurt around the midriff. But with a club fight, of course, you're not supposed to hit someone below the belt. Also in modern day boxing, I think. There's a type of boxing, I think, where you're allowed to kick and hit anyone anywhere. Kickboxing. No, but there's another type, it's all out fighting. So anyway, but this was not. They had rules. There were kshatriyas. So Bhimsen, he was fighting with Duryodhana, and he kept hitting Duryodhana. Duryodhana was just smiling, you know, keep hitting me. And Bhimsen was getting weaker and weaker and weaker, and Bhimsen was not invulnerable. And Krishna finally tells Bhimsen to hit him below the belt by, you know, slapping himself on his thighs. It's interesting, Krishna always gives these hints. Like with Jarasandha, he, you know, sort of took a twig and split it in two and said, that's how you're supposed to, and then threw the side, the parts of the twig to different areas. Anyway, so getting back to the point, so Krishna hints to Bhim saying, this is how you're supposed to kill Duryodhana. Duryodhana gets killed in that way, or gets his thigh smashed, and he's lying there in pain. Balaram sees that at the end, and he gets angry, and he gets ready to kill Bhimsen. He said, all right, you want to fight? Let's see how you can fight. And then Krishna intercedes again. Krishna says, don't you remember how Bhimsen vowed to break Duryodhana's thighs, because Duryodhana said to Draupadi, you should sit on my thighs. Like that, Bhimsen took that vow. Don't you remember this? And then Balaram gets frustrated again. Oh my God. That Krishna. So the point is that even though he's the older brother, Krishna doesn't listen to him. So he always remains subservient to Krishna, even though he's the older brother. Anyway, so interesting stories. I actually wanted to read the Kavacha. There's a Balaram Stotra Kavacha supposed to protect you. I could read it tonight, yeah. And there's, of course, last year I read the prayers to the Lord Balaram from Duryodhana. So anyway, I'm not going to read that again this year. We had so many things I prepared. Okay. Anyway, all glories to His divine grace. Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai, Balaram, Ki Jai, Balaram.